The new novel by Tobias Wolff raises a question that a lot of writers have to face, the difference between being inspired by other writers and stealing from them. Tobias Wolff is the author of several books of short stories, a short book about the military called The Barracks Thief, and also This Boy's Life, a memoir about growing up. But this is the first full-length novel of his career. The narrator is a student in a private prep school in the early 1960s. He's an aspiring writer who keeps falling in love with the work of the noted authors who come to that school to speak. And Tobias Wolff has come to the studios of KQED in San Francisco to speak to us. Mr. Wolff, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
You went to a private prep school yourself.
I did. I had the great good fortune of getting a scholarship to this school. I could not otherwise have gone. And it was an extraordinary time for me because I had grown up in very much a working class background, and I was plunged into a world of great privilege and assumption of entitlement. At the same time, people were not ashamed to talk about ideas, to be intelligent. Many of us were passionate about books.
So this is a school that you portray in the book. Robert Frost comes to visit, other writers come to visit, and there's a collection of students who are extremely excited about writing, not just the narrator, but a bunch of his friends.
Exactly. And drawing on a memory of my own school, there was we would compete for a private audience with the writers who visited. One student would be chosen for this on the basis of work that we would submit. Our masters would send on five or six of the best pieces to the writer, who would choose one and then meet alone with the writer. And this seemed to us a kind of anointing, to be alone with a great writer. And so we competed mightily for this privilege, and this becomes the focal point of the novel, these competitions, these aspirations to receive the laying on of hands from writers who have written great works.
One of the characters in your novel writes a sort of homage to Robert Frost. This is his bid to actually win this competition and get to spend some time with Robert Frost. I wonder if you can read the Robert Frost-like poem on page 39.
I'd be delighted. The narrator is considering the fact that this friend of his has written this poem that has so pleased Robert Frost. He says, George had used an odd mixture of tones. At one moment, the farmer is lyrically drooling over the sight of the hired girl milking a cow. Old rooster struts the rafters while the barn cat begs, mewing at her feet in the stall where Flossie stands. As with swift, hard strokes of her soft white hands, she pulls the foaming cream into the pail between her legs.
And I took the udder less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Sorry, read some more.
Then a few stanzas down, he's a terse fatalist. Corn's high in the silo, hay's stacked in the loft, cordwood's halfway to the roof, door cracks plugged with clay. So let come what will, hard ground, short day. I've done all I am able, and after all, this snow is soft.
And you conclude by noting that the poem was entitled, shamelessly,
First Frost.
Robert Frost reads this shameless homage to himself and says, I want to meet this kid.
This was a lot of fun to write because, in preparing myself to write about these visiting writers, I just steeped myself in their letters, in biographies about them, in their work again, and until I felt possessed almost by these writers. And though I very rarely quote directly from them, I feel like I am speaking from their very souls when I have them appear here.
So you have these students who are reading Hemingway, reading Faulkner, reading E.E. Cummings, and trying to do the same thing.
Exactly. Writers are very loath to admit the influences on them. They all want to be read as if they had sprung full-blown from the head of Zeus and just arrived there writing their best work. Writers learn by imitation. There is no other way to learn. My debt, indeed, goes back to Albert Payson Terhune, who wrote books about collie dogs. In fact, all his characters are collie dogs. But he was the writer who first inspired me as a reader, and I started writing books about collie dogs, or stories about collies. I mean, one can take this thing too far, of course, but influence is something that is key to the, to understanding how a writer becomes a writer, and I really wanted to talk about that in this book.
Our editor in the other room is pointing out that she loved the Collie Dog books.
Oh, good. I'm glad. It's good to find someone else who read Terhune.
So you had your influences. I suppose everybody does.
Sure.
The students in this novel will actually take a Hemingway story or a Faulkner story and set it down next to the typewriter and copy it, just to see what it feels like to type that great story.
I actually did that for a while. I would write out passages from Hemingway as if I had written them myself. And influence can become pathological after a while, of course. And this book traces that pathology somewhat. It's a very almost atavistic occurrence then. It's like someone eating the brain of another person to take on their qualities or something. It's a subsuming of the other, that kind of a plagiarism.
Your narrator has a secret that he's keeping from his fellow students.
Yes, that's right. He is told by his dying mother that his father, who hasn't bothered to say so himself, is Jewish, but a non-practicing Jew. His mother is Catholic and has raised him in the faith, and he doesn't really know what to make of this. I mean, he's been raised in a certain way to think of himself in a certain way, and he doesn't know quite what to do with this, but there is, he senses a certain apartness about the Jewish boys in his school that isn't entirely due to their wish to be separate, that it isn't exactly an act of anti-Semitism, but there's something that isn't, that there's some way in which they seem to him not quite to belong to the school, and he wants very much to belong. And so he finds himself suppressing what is actually a part of his identity that isn't very real anyway. And it's that also that fuels his sense of fraudulence, of being there on false pretenses in some way. And all these things build up in him. It's hard to say just what he should have done. I mean, in fact, what does that really mean? You know, to get back to that question, you know, when I read Albert Payson Terhune, I wrote stories about collies. When I started reading Jack London, I wrote stories about people in Alaska, and I wrote stories about wolves. Now, they weren't the same stories that those guys were writing, but they could not have been written but for my reading. And that's where the difficulty begins. You know, it's okay to do that, but what is it not okay to do then? At what point have you crossed a line that you shouldn't cross? And people, especially without a strong sense of their identity, the line can blur.
Tobias Wolff is the author of Old School, a new novel. Mr. Wolff, thanks very much.
Thank you. It was good talking to you. Thank you.